Father Jim called me a few weeks ago and asked if I'd give the Earth Day homily. I immediately told him that I would. Father Jim acted surprised and asked why I answered yes so quickly. I told him everyone knows you can't say no to Father Jim. I was flattered to be asked, but I also felt less qualified to give the Earth Day homily in comparison with many of my other Mother Earthers, as those of us who attend monthly Zoom Mother Earth community meetings are sometimes called. I do, however, feel passionate about improving our environment and caring for Mother Earth. I still have a lot to learn in that regard, but I feel it's so critically important. I consider myself fortunate to have been raised by kind, nurturing, and loving parents who instilled in me habits and attitudes of caring for the environment. I also feel very fortunate to have found a partner in my husband, Todd, who is also concerned with improving and caring for the environment. As a child growing up in the 70s, I discovered that many of my parents' habits were not typical in comparison with many of my friends' parents. My parents recycled tin cans, glass containers, and paper products. And once a month or so, my siblings and I would go with them to a recycling collection center about a half-hour drive away. Now, this was years before curbside recycling was made widely available. My parents also had a composting pile at the back edge of our yard. Now, I'm sure the local deer and other local wild residents enjoyed snacking on our family food waste. However, this practice meant a family of six's food waste wasn't contributing even more methane gas to the atmosphere. My parents also washed plastic bags, and we reused them over and over again until they no longer kept food fresh. My Aunt Rosemary and my Aunt Lee recently reminded me that my parents also used bonnets to cover food and keep it fresh in the refrigerator instead of using plastic wrap. I think our family was probably the butt of many family and friends' jokes due to all these eccentric activities. This all made a very lasting impression on me. I also remember going on hikes with my family. We would all pick up trash along the way. My parents were avid nature enthusiasts. They would go on bird watching expeditions with friends and took countless photographs of flowers, trees, wildlife, and scenery. Their enthusiasm for the natural environment seemed boundless. I became involved with the Mother Earth community here at Spiritus several years ago. I was quickly impressed on what an active group it was. Our group leader, Paul Kane, was instrumental in Spiritus involvement with and support of the Rochester Area Interfaith Climate Action, also known as RACA. RACA is a group of individuals and organizations of faith in the Rochester metropolitan area seeking to create a meaningful response to climate change, as noted on their website. The Mother Earth community, as you're probably aware, give Green Spot announcements once a month. The purpose of these announcements is to bring awareness to our faith community on practices and activities that make a difference on improving the environment. And thanks to parishioners Tim McGowan and Paul Kane, Spiritus is a formal member of Climate Solutions Accelerator. Per their website, Climate Solutions Accelerator's mission statement is to create a healthier, more equitable, and environmentally sustainable community by catalyzing local efforts to eliminate greenhouse gas emissions and address the effects of climate change. In case you haven't checked out the blog section of the Spiritus website, I encourage you to do so. Click on posts under the environmental heading, and you will see entries there with helpful information about what can be recycled, green choices when it comes to textiles, ideas for saving energy, and more. And fellow Mother Earther Luann Durin has been doing a great job in creating these posts and adding to them. Another thing I love about the Mother Earth community here at Spiritus is the spirit of activism put to work. Members of the community have engaged with politicians, both local and national, to push the environmental agenda and continue to work hard at keeping environmental legislation moving forward. Mother Earthers are involved with Color Your Community Green initiatives, such as ones in Penfield and Brighton. These groups engage community leaders and petition for green-friendly practices in the towns they live in. Be it green energy initiatives or pressing for other green-friendly practices in their communities. The Climate Solutions Accelerator organization can assist you in forming a Color Your Community Green in your own community, or you can connect with one that already exists. If you're looking to get more involved with helping to improve the environment, you can join the next Mother Earth Community Zoom meeting. We meet the first Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m. Just send an email to mothereearth@spiritischristi.org to be added to the Zoom invite list. If you're looking for some ideas on activities or projects to help the environment that are relatively easy to do, relatively low cost, I have 5 suggestions for you. First, you can start composting. You can buy a composting bin, as my husband Todd and I did. We bought one at Aldi's years ago. I don't know if they still sell them, but you can probably find someone who does. And if you're handy, you can build one. So just make sure that the rain can get in to your composting bin so microbes can do their thing and break down food scraps and other compostable materials. If you live in an apartment, you can still participate in composting. Impact Earth is a local company that can pick up composting materials for you. You can get more information from them by their website, which is impactearthroc.com, or if you Google them. Composting is important because food waste that ends up in landfills creates methane gas, which is a greenhouse gas and contributor to global warming. A second suggestion, you can go meatless one day a week. Some people have adopted meatless Mondays into their weekly eating regimen. Why is it important to reduce meat in your diet? According to a study conducted by the University of Illinois and published in September of 2021, meat accounts for nearly 60% of all greenhouse gases from food production. Additionally, according to the Mayo Clinic, a plant-based diet, which emphasizes fruits, vegetables, grains, beans, legumes, and nuts, is rich in fiber, vitamins, and other nutrients. And people who don't eat meat, vegetarians, generally eat fewer calories and less fat, weigh less, and have a lower risk of heart disease than non-vegetarians do. A third suggestion, buy organic food whenever possible. Organic farming is better for the environment because its practices involve less pollution, soil erosion, and energy. Eliminating the use of pesticides in farming also benefits nearby birds and animals and people who live close to farms. Additionally, herbicides and pesticides do not differentiate between good and bad bugs. It simply kills them all. In order for there to be life on Earth, we need to maintain a certain level of biodiversity. This includes everything from the biggest mammals to the tiniest of insects. Organic farming practices include healthy growing techniques that aim to maintain that necessary level of biodiversity. Lastly, organic food reduces your chemical exposure as it contains fewer pesticides. A fourth suggestion, bring your own reusable and refillable water bottle wherever you go. This will avoid adding plastic bottles to landfills and save you money. My husband Todd tells me it's also healthier to stay well hydrated. A fifth suggestion, if you enjoy going for walks, bring a bag with you. Pick up some trash along the way. Now, I'm not suggesting picking up every single item along the way, but if you pick up every fifth piece of litter you come across, you'll make a difference. These are just a few ideas. There are many more ways you can help with the environment. Once you make an activity part of your routine, it becomes habit. Now, I know there's a lot of conflicting information out there on whether or not human activities have a negative impact on the environment. I myself can relate to Thomas in today's gospel reading in many ways. Maybe you can too. The fact is, there's undeniable scientific proof that human activities have had a detrimental effect on the environment, And trust me, this is not fake news. Taking care of the environment is not only our moral responsibility, it is what God wants us to do. By not taking measures to improve and care for the environment, we do nothing to ensure the continuity of life. If we believe that God created all life, then we must do all we can to protect God's precious creation. I want to conclude by quoting author Robin Wall Kimmerer, taken from her book, Braiding Sweetgrass. As a society, we stand at the brink. We know we do. Through the hole that opens at our feet, we can look down and see a glittering blue and green planet, as if from the vantage point of space, vibrating with birdsong and toads and tigers. We could close our eyes, keep breathing poison air, witness the extinction of our relatives, and continue to measure our worth by how much we take. We could cover our ears to our own knowing, back away from the edge and retreat to the gray decline. What does it take to abandon what does not work and take the risks of uncertainty? We'll need courage. We'll need each other's hands to hold and faith in the geese to catch us. It would help to sing. The landing might not be soft, but land holds many medicines. Propelled by love, ready to work, we can jump toward the world we want to co-create with pockets full of seeds and rhizomes. Happy Earth Day, Spiritus Christi.